From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Split show for you tonight. Later, we'll discuss how to tack years onto your life. Also, first day of summer officially here. Get ready for a nice few months. Here's what's happening. Life in the oceans is at imminent risk of the worst spate of extinctions in millions of years due to threats such as climate change and overfishing, according to a study. They say that the time was running short to counter hazards such as a collapse of coral reefs or a spread of low oxygen dead zones, according to a study led by the International Program on the State of the Ocean. Scientists list five mass extinctions over 600 years, most recently when dinosaurs vanished 65 million years ago. Will we be added to that category? A new study in Europe finds that around 2040, the increase in heat deaths will likely outweigh the reduction in cold deaths. The study suggests that by 2070, global warming may cause 15,000 more temperature-related deaths a year just in Europe, which has less air conditioning than the United States. Radioactive tritium has leaked from three-quarters of U.S. commercial nuclear power sites, often into groundwater from corroded, buried piping. The number and severity of the leaks has been escalating, even as federal regulators extend the licenses of more and more reactors across the nation. Tritium is a radioactive form of hydrogen. It has leaked from at least 48 of the 65 tested sites. Nebraska, what is going on with its Cooper nuclear station there in Brownville? It's a 37-year-old plant, and there are dangers of a possible shutdown if waters continue to get any higher. Professor James McCanney with us right now. He's been monitoring this story. Jim, what's the latest situation out there?
Well, George, we all know that the flooding is increasing, and they're talking about shutting the plant down. What they're not talking about is the fact that the fuel storage at the site is the big residual problem. This is very hot fuel. It has to be cooled on a constant basis. And if the cooling of the stored spent fuel ceases, which could happen if the floodwaters do continue to rise, which seems to be the case as the levees break all over that area, that's the problem. And if that's where the Fukushima-type event could occur in Nebraska. They could shut the reactor down, and I don't know why they're not doing that already. They're saying it's due to economic reasons. That's insane. They should have shut this plant down a long time ago. One of the plants is shut down, but that's not the issue. The issue is the spent nuclear fuel that should have never been stored at these sites in the first place. You add in you have a crippled site. It's a perfect target for terrorism. We have a tremendous mess in this country. You just talked about the tritium leaks, and this is not being reported. I tried to get political reports and industry reports. They're making this sound like there's no problem. There's no problem at all. Don't worry, folks. This is absurd. The United States, as a country, as an energy-using country, is in a terrible mess. So that's one of the issues. The other issue is the weather is going to continue, as far as we can tell, to be a very wet season. All the way from North Dakota, you look at all of the sources that feed the Missouri River, they're all flooding out. They cannot control the floodwaters anymore. So it's a real mess. The people in charge are not communicating this. And the real issue, the spent nuclear fuel, nobody wants to talk about that.
You keep monitoring this for us, Professor James McCanney. He's a physicist. His website, jmccanneyscience.com. Officials are warning of an outbreak of scarlet fever among children in Hong Kong. There have been more than 400 cases of this disease this year, including the death of a little six-year-old last month. The crucial spring home selling season is almost gone, and it's left a wounded housing market limping in its wake. Sales of previously owned U.S. homes fell to a six-month low in May as prices continue to drop as well. First-time homebuyers slid to an anemic 35% of sales. Here's Gerald Celente, founder and director of the Trends Research Institute. Gerald, is this the calm before the storm?
Well, it's the storm. We said when the panic began in 08 that we would head into the Great Depression. These are depression-level fall-offs. Actually, it's worse than the Great Depression. The prices are lower than they hit during the Great Depression. And the only reason the economy hasn't crashed worse than it has is because of all of the stimulus money they've been dumping in that hasn't corrected the problem. And now we're hearing Ben Bernanke say today that to spur the economy, they may prolong the stimulus. Great. It hasn't worked before. Let's dump more money in, cheapen the value of the dollar, and make it more expensive for all of us to live.
At what point, Gerald, do our debt holders, like the Chinese, say, folks, enough is enough?
They're saying it already, and so are the Russians. They're all pulling out of U.S. currencies. Everyone knows the deal that's coming down, and that is a devaluation of the dollar. By keeping interest rates low and flooding the market with cheap money, they're making it more expensive for all of us to live. That's one of the major reasons why prices are escalating. A lot of it has to do with supply and demand, but more of it has to do with the dollar's not worth the digital paper it's not printed on.
What are you telling your clients, Gerald?
Well, we're telling them, I'm telling them what I do, and that's the only advice I can give. I've been buying gold forever, and I buy Swiss francs. As you see all of these economies declining around the world, all of the wars heating up, you know, that where is the money going? It's going into Switzerland. They're the money cockroaches of the world. And they did it during World War II. The dirty money has to be washed somewhere, and the money has to be put in a safe place. And Switzerland looks like it. So my strategies are very simple. Gold and Swiss. And also Gerald Celente's GC's 3 G's, guns, gold, and a getaway plan. Because as things are going, boy, watch out for terrorism to start hitting.
I've got 2 out of 3. Gerald, thanks. All of his websites, of course, tied in on our Twitter feed. Also that you can connect to on coasttocoastam.com. Up next, split program for you. 2 major stories on your health, how to keep you around a little longer. Dr. Elizabeth Plour joins us. Sunscreen's biohazard. Treat as hazarded as waste. Get ready for that on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Elizabeth Plour, licensed clinical laboratory scientist, degrees in both the biological science and psychology, training in the fields of both medicine and psychology, augmented by invaluable experience gained while working with cutting-edge medical laboratories that specialize in cancer and DNA research. She's using this expertise to focus her attention on the hazards of sunscreens and how they are impacting our children and the environment. Here's Dr. Elizabeth Plour. Elizabeth, this is a fascinating work that you've done. How'd you get interested in this?
Oh, absolutely. It was due to swimming in the ocean, and I had the privilege of being able to swim in the ocean for the last 40 years in Hawaii. And this last summer, I was there, and the water was so cold, I had to coax myself into it. Every day, I'd have to say, okay, 1 more inch at a time. And then their headline said, coral reefs dying due to global warming. And I'm going, this water is cold, colder than I've felt it in 40 years. How could this be the answer? And so I started just very innocently researching coral reefs and why they would die. And when I found out they die due to sunscreen, actually, if they're put in a plastic bag with sunscreen, they're dead, completely dead in 96 hours. And when I saw that, and I love the coral reefs, been snorkeling and scuba diving for my whole life, I realized I wanted to do something about waking the world up to this possibility. And so I started writing a book about that, and I had no idea that my hormone expertise, the 25 years I've spent researching and specializing in hormone research, would be completely valuable for this, because they are hormones, and those hormones impact not only the ocean water, but also humans, as well as all life on the planet.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And just recently, Elizabeth, the Food and Drug Administration has made a ruling about sunscreen. How does that impact what you've been working on?
Well, anything short of banning them is totally useless and is not helping human life, nor the oceans, because all of the sunscreens, I haven't found one that does not impact the planet life at some degree. And so all they've done is just change their rulings about labeling and have not done anything to stop the sale or to realize how dangerous they are.
All right, let's get into some of these sunscreens. Now, why do you call them biohazards?
Because they are impacting all of life. There's chemical sunscreens, and they act as estrogens, they act as hormones, and those are impacting all the mammals on the planet, including us, as well as the coral reefs. And then there's physical sunscreens that are nanoparticles that are so tiny that they're getting inside of us. They're getting inside, causing DNA deletions inside of our bodies. And so all life on the planet is being impacted by them.
All right. What do consumers need to do, Elizabeth, when, first of all, they put sunscreen lotion on or tanning lotion on? What tips? I mean, here we are. We've now entered the first day of summer. People go out there in the sun. What do they do?
Not use it. Literally, it is that important to not use it. The body itself, the antioxidants, if we keep a high antioxidant diet level, those actually rise up in the skin when the skin is exposed to the solar rays and act as a natural protective sunscreen rather than putting foreign chemicals on the body that the skin absorbs and then can cause problems. Go ahead.
Why are we so concerned about melanomas and things like that from the sun? You know, what is causing all this these days? I mean, I've got some friends of mine, they're dermatologists, and they say they're seeing melanomas all over the place. What's happening?
Absolutely. What's happening is that the sunscreens themselves have made it, they actually cause more cancer, which is 180 degrees for what they're being sold for. What's happening is that they only screen small sections of the solar rays, of the solar spectrum, and then we sit in the sun 10, 20, 30, 50 times longer, depending on the SPF on the bottle, because we're believing that it's going to protect us. And then the increased solar rays that the body is not prepared for actually cause cancer, actually cause the changes in the skin that cause more cancer, as well as skin aging. And it's definitely proven that these cancer rates have gone up tremendously, both skin cancers as well as melanomas, since the advent of sunscreen use.
I thought the sun was good. It created your own natural vitamin D.
Oh, we absolutely need it for vitamin D. That's the other problem with sunscreens, is that they block the ability for the skin to manufacture the vitamin D. And now we're in the presence of a worldwide vitamin D epidemic deficiency, because and we're seeing this worldwide as far as all these vitamin D deficient diseases. Newborns in England, they're having this much greater degree than we are. The higher you go in latitude, the less sun rays to create the vitamin D, and so there's more of an epidemic there.
Now, tell me, is there a difference between sunscreen lotion and tanning lotion?
Well, either would allow the sun rays through or portions of the sun rays through. So, no, there's not much difference.
None at all.
That's right.
Tell me a little bit about what the FDA is also trying to do. I mean, are they taking a look at this? Are they aware of what you call a biohazard?
It doesn't appear that way. I just saw a sign-off by an EPA person saying that they saw the evidence that the titanium dioxide nanoparticles, which is one of the sunscreens that's in everything now, actually causes the DNA deletions, and they've signed off on it, and that was like a year ago, and we haven't seen a reaction by the FDA that this could be the biohazard that I am seeing.
All right, tell me a little bit more about yourself, Elizabeth, PhD. I read your bio, but there's more to you than meets the eye here. So tell me about your expertise there.
What happened was that 25 years ago, I realized that I needed to know more about hormones when they took my ovaries and I could not function, and they kept saying it's in your head, and I said, no, it's not. And so I realized no doctor could help me, so I decided to research hormones by myself, and I could not believe how much the hormones impact every system of the body. Our ovarian hormones go everywhere, the brain, the muscles, the bones, digestion, how we process our food. So I started in researching and have specialized in researching in those for the last 25 years.
What do most people say? Scientists, people who read this, they say, hey, you're right on, or you're nuts.
Both. Really both. There are doctors who get it, and there's doctors who don't. It's very hard to overcome the programming. When I was interning for my clinical laboratory scientist license, and it was such long hours, it's the same as a medical doctor interning, only a couple hours sleep a night. And my father said, why don't you just become a medical doctor? And I thought, no, I'm really more interested in the biochemistry that I'm learning. And I'm so glad I didn't, because I was able to look at all the research. I literally read every paper written since 1895 about hormones in the body, and was able to pull that all together because of the biochemistry background that I have.
What do people do? I mean, in my particular case, I'm olive-skinned. I don't really have a problem in the sun. I really don't burn too much, Elizabeth. But there are a lot of fair-haired people out there, a lot of people with very light skin. What do you recommend?
Well, the darker the skin, the more protection they have. Actually, the melanoma incidence for whites is far greater than blacks. Blacks is like 1 per 100,000 versus white men in America now are 34 per 100,000, the incidence rate. So the black, actually the melanin in the skin, is our natural protection from the UV rays. So the darker the skin, the better. So in fact, they are researching now to have a melanin-stimulating hormone and give that to people so that they'll stimulate their own tanning. The problem is that that hormone goes throughout the body, so that answer, again, is going to give a very abnormal response to the body than what is natural. And my whole premise is that look at the biochemistry, what's normal and natural for the body versus these artificial chemicals that they're using. And we need to work with the way the body works. Then there's no side effects. And all of these sunscreen products that they're coming up with do not work in a natural way with the body.
Elizabeth, I know a lot of people who are Japanese. They live in Los Angeles. When they go outside in the sun, they actually hold umbrellas. Other than seeing them, I've never seen this before. I guess they know what they're doing?
Well, actually, that is the best cover up. In fact, the new FDA guidelines are saying that these sunscreens do not protect against cancer and skin aging. No, do cover up, and that's what they want on bottles now. So the Japanese have done that for years to protect themselves from the skin aging that can happen from the sun. But they're also protecting themselves from the solar rays that produce the vitamin D. And when I first started researching osteoporosis years ago, I was so amazed that the osteoporosis in Japan is cured by vitamin D, because they've been so vitamin D deprived years before us when we started using the sunscreens.
Did you look at sunglass use at all, sunglasses?
Well, I believe that it's also good for the eyes, and if you, the sunlight, and if you use these high antioxidants, it actually protects the eyes from the solar rays too.
Which is critical, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
What are dermatologists telling you there these days? I mean, what are they saying? What are they seeing these days, besides what they tell me?
The dermatologists are really very much in the idea that we absolutely have to have the sunscreens, because they're seeing so much sun cancer now, and that is totally the opposite of what's happening. They really need to stop using them so that we can get back to where we were as far as the incidence of melanoma, where we were before the use of sunscreen.
It's a huge business. You're going to come to a lot of resistance. You know that.
Oh, absolutely. I totally understand that. I do. But it's imperative for the life on the planet. It absolutely is.
Interesting take. Stay with us. Dr. Elizabeth Plourd, our guest here. her work, Sunscreens Biohazard. Her website is the same. Linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. And yes, you can email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. We shall be right back. Don't touch your dial. Check in with us if any of you have had any serious problems, melanomas. Some of those are very serious. As a matter of fact, I know someone who died within a matter of 2 months after being diagnosed with a skin melanoma. Absolutely incredible. Back in a moment, more with Dr. Elizabeth Plourd this hour in your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We're going to take your calls here with Dr. Elizabeth Plourd. Elizabeth, so what's wrong with using a little coconut oil on your body once in a while?
Oh, that would be excellent. That's natural. It's not the false chemicals that have been developed for the skin. So anything that's natural.
Okay, that's a big difference.
In fact, olive oil is absolutely excellent to put on after sunbathing. It repairs any DNA damage that might have been done from the skin. The sun does cause the changes that they're talking about and they're trying to protect people from. The problem is that the sunscreens promote even more of that type of damage.
What about these lotions that give you these instant false tans? What do you think of them?
Well, there again, what you're going to do the minute you get that tan is block the ability for the solar rays to create vitamin D in the body. So that is, again, circumventing health.
To the phones we go, Omaha, Nebraska. Let's go to you, Johnny, on Coast to Coast. Hey, Johnny, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. It's good to talk to you again. How are you
Thank
doing?
You. I'm doing well, thanks.
That's good. I just wanted to, I talked to Tom, and I just wanted to put through a little information that your guest has said tonight that it's, you know, sunglasses are just, you know, A-okay to go ahead and wear. But I've been a welder since I was 10 years old, and my daddy put a rod in my hand. And when you get sunburn, well, they call it welder's flash, or some people will call it sandy eye. When you actually sunburn, your eye, the whites of your eyes, and I talked to an optometrist about it once, and he said that when you wear sunglasses, it will make your eyes think it's darker than it is outside, and your pupils will begin to dilate and will let reflective UV rays hit off of your skin, off the lens, and right to the retina. And aside from that, you know, these, and there's, you know, skiers, you see them wearing the goggles all the time.
Sure.
And I assume it's for that reason, but it might be to keep the wind out. I don't know. I've never skied, but I'm just curious about that and what she has to say, because an optometrist said that the wraparound glasses are fine. You know, these Oakleys and whatnot, that the lens actually curves around your face.
Mm-hmm.
And those are fine. But these, you know, flat, look like, you know, just flat in front of your eyes.
Like the aviators.
Yeah. Those flat in front of your eyes leave that. You can put your finger in between the glasses and your eye, and if you can do that, you're doing damage to the whites of your eyes and your retina. And,
okay, I've never heard that. Elizabeth, have you?
I would totally agree with that, because as you look at everything with common sense, that's totally correct. And what I was saying was that there is benefit of sunshine coming in your eyes, but be prudent. You know, everything is in balance. So if you're going to be totally exposed to the sun, then do protect them in some way, and wearing a cap with a large brim could be the best way to protect your eyes. But also, absolutely take antioxidants, because antioxidants really do help repair damage in the eye.
And what about, like, bilberry, the supplement?
Absolutely. Yes, our book has a whole chapter. I spent a long time researching the antioxidants, so we have a whole chapter on all of the antioxidants that have been proven to stop, prevent, repair DNA damage, and they really do work well, very well. In fact, they're even, some of them are even rated with an SPF value that they're that valuable.
What do you do with this information, Elizabeth? Where do you take it?
As far as, I don't quite understand.
Where do you take your book, your work?
Oh, I want to take it around the world. Absolutely around the world. I want to take it to everywhere. They have tourists putting sunscreen into their coral reefs where all the coral reefs are dying. Belize didn't have tourists until the 1990s when they started pouring in there. And during the 1980 coral bleaching that happened, they didn't have it there. They didn't have it until the 1990s after they had 800,000 tourists coming in and going through their coral reefs. So I want to spread this everywhere, especially all over Europe. They're really showing the signs that they're being damaged by these chemicals. Their fish, it's just amazing. The fish that have been measured over there all have sunscreen chemicals in them, and it's in their water supply. And they have a big increase in male reproductive tract disorders over there, which are seen in the fish when they expose sunscreen and to the fish. These fish develop these male reproductive tract disorders.
Some companies are using natural items and ingredients, which you agree with. Why then do they have to even put chemicals in any of these?
That's a very good question. They really don't. If it's high enough antioxidant level, what they're putting out now is this combination of chemicals to cover the whole spectrum of the solar rays. And the research has absolutely proven that the more chemicals mixed together, the more potential for the toxic reactions to happen. So it's impossible to cover all of the spectrum without even more damage.
Let's go to Los Angeles. Perry, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Perry.
Well, hi, George. I just want you to know I was never much on talk radio, and I turned on 640 one night, and I am just fascinated by your show. I don't listen to music anymore. I don't watch TV.
Well,
you don't make news from the radio. And I love your show. You're just phenomenal the way you work with people. I've never heard anyone so sensitive and open and still able to draw people out. You're amazing. But that's not why I called. I have a six-year-old daughter, and I'm concerned about her going out. We live in L.A. She goes, I take her out every weekend to the park. And I don't want anything to happen to her. She's, you know, like every father, she is the apple of my eye.
Sure.
She's absolutely gorgeous. She's so pretty that when women see her, they go, wow. They look at me and they go, your wife, your daughter's beautiful. Your wife must be stunning. Like, I didn't have anything to do with it. And so she's just way more than I ever imagined. She's smart. She's beautiful. She looks like a young Anne Margaret at 6 years old. Just amazing. So I take her out, and she's getting a tan, and mom is not into putting the sunscreen. I always thought it was good. Now I'm hearing something which I always believe about the darker skin actually blocks it. Because you look at it like this. Icebergs melt because they're white. You take
That's
something,
right.
they don't melt because they're white. But they go out, and they want to melt them. They throw black paint and stuff like that on. The dark attracts the heat, okay? It attracts heat, but in this case, in the skin, it reflects the rays. So as she gets tanner, is she more protected from, you know, developing the melanomas? I mean, it's like, I don't know, how do I stop this? How do I protect her? Is it better to use a little sunscreen? Is there a specific type? Or just let her tan and hope that the melanin will work and stop it?
The melanin in the skin is such a natural protection. It really is the way the body's designed to protect itself from the solar rays. And the best thing you could do for your daughter is to make sure she doesn't have sunscreen, because that is also the best thing for your grandchildren, because there's absolute proof that it is a phenol. Phenols go through the placenta and get into the fetus and disrupt fetal development. And so for your grandchildren's sake, to make sure that they're not exposed to this in utero, the best thing you can do is to prevent her from having sunscreen on her skin at all. And
how do you get the melanin to come out?
Just gradually. You can do that just gradually. Just expose yourself very gradually. And the best thing to do to protect the skin actually is the antioxidant diet. That's why I spent so long creating the chapter I have. And the back of it, the appendix, is a list of the antioxidants. Because that is really the best. And that protects the whole body, because the antioxidants really help prevent heart disease and you name it. Throughout the whole body, the body absolutely has to have antioxidants on a daily basis. So when you're increasing these in your diet for sun protection, you're also increasing for health, general health.
But if you have to ingest it in a pill form or a capsule, a little girl's not going to do that.
So well, make sure her diet has lots of fruits, vegetables, all the bright colors, the reds, the purples, the yellows, all of them are very high in antioxidants.
Okay, that's a good point. James in Grand Junction, Colorado, it's your turn. Hey, James, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to ask her if she ever heard of any bloodroot that the Indians used to use it to get rid of their cancers and you know, it gets rid of sun damage, too. I was wondering if she ever heard of it.
No, I haven't, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it's in a lot of these old medical books from the 1900s, and they used to use it to get rid of the polyps in your nose. You could turn it into a snuff and snort it up your nose.
I am amazed at all the plant life that we have on the planet that is here that we can use for health.
Yeah, I know a lady that got rid of a melanoma she had, and I had one, too, on my face, and I got rid of it. You got to learn how to use this stuff because you can eat your nose off because it's a pretty it gets rid of a lot of any skin growths or anything like that. But I was wanting to say something to George that you'd probably like is, you know, the acid alkalinity thing. You know?
Yeah. The pH balance? Sure.
Yeah. Aloe vera is really alkaline, and you can snort it up your nose when you're exposed to a cold, and it kills the cold germs because the cold germs create a acid. That's when your nose gets all raw around the edges. And, you know, you just use that all day long, and your cold will go away if you're starting to catch it. Even if you've already got it, it'll pretty much go away, you know, if you keep using it. You don't have any symptoms, you know, like a runny nose and stuff. Your nose won't be runny, you know, and it don't get all raw around the edges, you know, around your nostrils.
All right. I appreciate that, James.
Well, the aloe vera is excellent for the skin also. Put it on the skin. You actually use it on the hair. Because they're putting these sunscreens in shampoo also, that aloe vera would be a great natural way to prevent the sun damage. That's in my book also.
Tell me in your early days, Elizabeth. Of course, I don't even know how old you are, but did you ever go out and tan?
Oh, absolutely. I'm California, born and raised. And I can remember all the times my sister and I would sit out in the yard just baking, absolutely baking.
Do you regret doing it?
No, I have not. Not at all, because I know all of the benefits. I'm 68, so, and haven't had a skin cancer or melanoma. And I really tried to keep a very high antioxidant diet even before all my research.
Why is it that some people who are in the sun way too long over a number of years have that elephant skin?
Well, when you read what the sun rays do, including IR, one of the things that's happened is that they put out all these sunscreens, all this sunblock, they called it, to prevent the UVB rays from causing the sunburn. And those were the initial sunscreens. And they do block the sunburn, but they don't block the UVA rays that go deeper. And they're the ones that have been responsible for the increase in the cancers and the melanomas. But also there's been no attention paid to the IR, the infrared rays, which is almost 50% of the radiation coming through the Earth's atmosphere. And the infrared rays cause damage in the skin that can lead to that increased thickening. So we've been told with these sunscreens we can stay out in the sun so much longer, but in reality, it's way more than the skin has been designed to process. The sunburn was actually our gift of our red warning light on the dashboard saying, hey, you know, too much sun, this is more than your antioxidant level can protect you.
All right, let's go up to Tucson, Arizona. Stephanie, it's your turn. Hi, Steph.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Okay.
Let me go if I'm cutting in or out. I just have a question for the doctor. Have you ever heard sun cancer or skin cancer being related to candida in the system?
Well, it could be combined in the fact that if we have low antioxidants and the acid condition, which can set all of this up, yes, a whole lot of health conditions go along with not having the high antioxidant and the alkaline system. So it makes sense that they go together.
Let's go to Sam in Houston, Texas. Sam, it's your turn.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Okay, Sam.
Back in the 1960s, I was a Navy deep-sea diver. Of course, we were out in the sun all the time. And our hospital corpsman mixed up a batch of olive oil and iodine for a sunscreen, and we used it, and we never burned.
Olive oil and what? I couldn't hear.
Iodine.
Iodine. Oh, wow. Well, iodine is excellent for the body, for the thyroid, and so that also is good for the thyroid as well as for the production of the vitamin D. So it all of that makes sense. And the olive oil, definitely. That's also in my book, too, because it's excellent. So,
if there's a melanoma developing, a skin problem, what do people do?
High antioxidants. If we eat, I've been amazed. I've researched so many avenues of health. And no matter where I went, whether it was adrenal fatigue or thyroid, hypothyroid problems, heart problems, no matter what avenue of health that I investigated, it all came down to nutrition, that if we ate well and we ate all the nutrients that our cells need in order to reproduce healthily, that we will reverse any of our health problems.
And let's go to first-time caller. Robbie, truck driving in Colorado. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, how you doing, George?
Sure thing.
Yeah. Hi, I just want to mention that my mother back in Germany has noticed that a lot of the things have happened. So she decided to buy just the pill form of kava, and she's been taking one a day, giving us kids one a day for all of our life, and we actually don't burn in the summer. Now, if we're actually out too long, you can do four at lunchtime and four at night, and most of the time it'll go away overnight. If not, you get up and you won't pill or nothing before it goes away.
Interesting. What do you think of PAPA as a supplement, Elizabeth?
Well, PAPA is the ingredient that was in the original sunscreens. And so, yes, there is part of our system needs the PAPA. And so that's what he's getting there. The thing is that there are a lot more more natural antioxidants that the body could use as a way to offset the propensity for the sunburn rather than the PAPA. But PAPA is in multivitamins, so but small amounts, not the amount that it would take to stop the sunburn.
Okay, well, let me tell you about Elizabeth's website, sunscreenbiohazard.com, and we're talking about her work, of course, called Sunscreens Biohazard. It's a good read, especially if you want to take care of yourself in the sun. I'm George Norrie. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.